But he's settled on the throne. Throne doesn't mean the throne like a king, okay? Throne here means the what? The what?
Power.
Power. It means power to manage it, to control it, okay? So Allah, it means Allah Almighty has, after he created, he got the control all over all his creation. Of course, when you create, you have control.
Yes.
يُغْشِ اللَّيْلَ النَّهَارَ He draws the night's cover over the day. يَطْلُبُ حَثِيثًا Which pursues it swiftly. وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ وَالنُّجُومَ مُسَخَّرَاتٍ بِأَمْرِهِ And he created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all of them are disposed by his commands. It means all of them are in the command of Allah Almighty, in the control of Allah Almighty. Under control of? Under control of?
Allah.
أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ Look, all creation and command belong to him. تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ Blessed is Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Okay, it means blessings come from Allah.
So a question.
Yeah.
Here in the verse, there's a word that refers to worlds.
Yeah.
A plural form of world.
World of this dun, this,
so
this
what
world?
Does world refer to? Like our world hereafter?
Alameen, you mean. The word alameen. Your question is about
yes,
the word alameen. Alameen could mean, look, there are many interpretations about it, especially in the Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alameen could mean human beings, angels, and jinns. All the creations, okay? Alameen could mean all the residents of the earth and the skies, the heavens. Okay? It could mean this world and the other world.
So
the universe, the whole universe.
As you know, alameen means two worlds,
two.
Right?
Alameen.
So here it's alameen.
Yes.
So could it mean like there are different earths or different skies?
Different skies, of course, we have.
What about different earths?
We don't have different earth. We have one earth.
Different...
Down there, like the different levels of the earth, there is no one living.
Different creatures.
Creatures, we could say, yes. I told you.
Not on earth.
On earth, yes, I told you.
No, not on earth.
On. No. Down there, all the creation, whatever you see. Whatever you see. Okay? Refer to the Tafasir books. Now, some Tajweed rules are important here. You have to pay attention to them. And remember them. Then practice. Hussein Ali Nasir recited once, then we will mention them. As he recites, I will mention, then we'll practice it together. Move on.
Yes, sir.
Good luck.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أحسنتم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Great.
إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام.
All right, he made a slight mistake. That was
the pronunciation.
No.
The noon ساكن rules.
سماوات والأرض.
با.
All right.
Pronunciation.
Yeah, fix it, please.
Yes.
So kha has a heavy sound. Kha lam qa. Qa also has a heavy sound. Lam has a light sound. Kha lam qa. Yeah. Kha lam qa samawati wal arda fi sittati ayyam. Ayyam. The alif mat is extended when you stop. This is called matul arid.
Lissukun.
Lissukun.
All right. Move on.
Continue.
Mm-hmm. You can start from ثم استوى. That's okay if you start.
ثم استوى على العرش يغشى الليل النهار يطلبه حثيثا والشمس والقمر والنجوم مسخرات بأمره.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. One of the very important like rules here is ثم استوى على العرش يغشي الليل النهار. Of course, نون مشدد. Yeah, you know it. Yeah.
Yes.
So what?
Yes.
What do you do with the نون مشدد?
You extend the sound for two counts and produce a nasal sound.
نهار. Right.
Yes.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي
قرآني نبض حياتي How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's recite the Quran.
The next point,
القلاه.
Yeah, echoing sound. Hussein, read it.
يطلبه.
أحسن. يطلبه. Good. حثيثا والشمس. This is important. How do you read it, Hassan? حثيثا. You did it well, mashallah, al-Nasir. والشمس والقمر والنجوم مسخرات بأمره. Hussein. What is the point here? Musakhara. Ali Nasir did it well.
Yes.
It was correct.
It's iqlab.
Iqlab. How do you do it? What does it mean?
It means that the sign of ba will change into meem.
The ba will be changed to meem or the tanween sound?
Tanween sound will be changed.
What is the sound of tanween?
Tanween kasra.
It is tanween kasra. But yes. What is the sound of tanween?
Yeah.
That's because it's nun sakin, exactly. It's not written.
Yes.
It's just written in that sign, with that sign. So this sound changes to?
Sound.
But not a complete sound. Like, there should be a little space between your lips while you pronounce the meme. It means when you pronounce the meme, your lips touch. But when you want to pronounce the iqlab rule, iqlab sound, pronounce it in a way like there should be a tissue between your lips. Put a tissue between your lips. That little space. All right? Musakharatin bi'amri. Everyone read it. Musakharatin bi'amri.
مسخرات بأمره
أحسن. That's it. Move on. ألا
ألا له الخلق والأمر.
أحسن. قيلا tells us. حسن.
It says that it's better to stop.
Better to stop. You still can continue, but better to make a pause here. Yes. All right. Next one.
تبارك الله رب العالمين.
Yeah, that's it. MashaAllah. I will recite it once. Make sure everyone, you repeat after me. Brothers and sisters, make sure it's the last part of our class. Make sure you repeat after me.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام.
إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام
ثم استوى على العرش يغشي الليل النهار يطلبه حثيثا والشمس والقمر
ثم استوى على العرش يغشي الليل النهار يطلبه حثيثا والشمس والقمر
والشمس والقمر والنجوم مسخرات بأمره
والشمس والقمر والنجوم مسخرات بأمره
ألا له الخلق والأمر
ألا له الخلق والأمر
تبارك الله رب العالمين
تبارك الله رب العالمين.
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Thank you so much. That's all from us for today, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thanks for being with us. See you in the next session. Thanks, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, for being with us in this session. Stay with us, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. See you in the next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Leaders meeting with chairman and members of the Assembly of Experts. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with the chairman and members of the Assembly of Experts of the Leadership on Thursday, 7th of March. The meeting took place at the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniyeh in Tehran. In this program, we discuss the leader's remarks and points of view expressed at this meeting. Please stay with us. On Thursday, 7th of March, members of the 5th Assembly of Experts had their last official gathering in a meeting with the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. The leader started off by recommending to all prayers and supplication in the remaining days of the month of Sha'ban. He said, "The month of Sha'ban is for purifying and enlightening our hearts by seeking God's forgiveness through supplications and prayer. It is the month for preparing ourselves for the abundant and infinite blessings of the holy month of Ramadan. What a person prays for during this month is special. O God, grant me complete detachment from my worldly desires so I can come towards you. O God, give me a heart that longs to be close to you and a tongue that speaks the truth to you. These requests are filled with light, grace, and spirituality. We must say, O God, if you have not forgiven us yet in this month of Sha'ban, a portion of which has passed, then forgive us in the remaining days of this month. May the Almighty help us make good use of the few days that are left of this month and bestow His grace upon us all." Turning to the well-attended and enthusiastic nationwide rallies and marches on 11th of February and Parliamentary and Assembly of Expert elections on 1st of March, Ayatollah Khamenei said, February and March of this year revealed signs of Islamic democracy more than in other years. From the 10 days of dawn celebrations to Parliamentary and Assembly of Experts elections in March, all of these are signs and characteristics relating to Islamic democracy and the Islamic Republic. Referring to the birth of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the leader said, the birth of the Islamic Republic had a global impact. It was an earthquake, a global event, that created two opposing fronts in the world. One front was comprised of democracies dependent on the ideology of liberal democracy, and another front, a republic originating from religion and Islam, and related to religion and Islam. These two fronts were brought into existence with the establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and they did not exist prior to the emergence of the Islamic Republic. Naturally, it brought complications for both sides. The incompatibility between these two fronts was natural, and it was evident from day one. Commenting further, the leader said, it should not be imagined that this incompatibility is solely because of religion, where one side adheres to religion and the other side is indifferent about it. It isn't just that. It may appear to be so, but in fact the divisions and incompatibility are far more fundamental and run much deeper. The problem was that this faction of mainstream Western democracy felt that this new model that had emerged was in conflict with its major interests and perhaps ultimately opposed its existence. They sensed this very much. This sentiment was created in general in the opposite side from the outset of the Islamic Republic of Iran's establishment, and it intensified and grew as time passed. This opposition and serious conflict is due to the fact that at the core of the system of liberal democracy and the governments that were created based on that rationale and principle, there is an inherent arrogance, aggression, and transgression. Arrogance here has the same meaning that we use in the Islamic Revolution. That is, it encompasses oppression, aggression, and the violation of other nations' rights. This is in the nature of Western liberal democracy. The leader added, these governments saw that their wealth, their power and absolute domination depended on attacking and invading weaker nations. This is evidenced by the fact that at the height of the faction's popular slogans, that is the slogans of democracy, freedom and human rights that peaked in the 19th century, parallel to these slogans, the largest colonization movement of that faction also took place in the same period of time. Further remarks, Ayatollah Khamenei said, the peak of colonization of Asian, African and Latin American countries was during the 19th century, and it continued into the early 20th century. In other words, these two events took place simultaneously. Those slogans becoming common in the 19th century and the arrogant movement towards colonialism, which was accompanied by oppression and a disregard for other nations' rights, took place at the same time. Naturally, when there is no spirituality, a background of oppression and injustice takes root. When a group feels strong and is able to exploit and plunder a country, like India for example, which was wealthy, had industries and was considered advanced at the time, and by using force and pressure can seize control and use that country's wealth and resources to increase its own wealth, power and capabilities, why would it not do so? when there is no spirituality, what is there to prevent it from doing so? It can, so it does, and it did. Colonialism took over in important regions of Asia, including in East Asia, India, and surrounding countries. It also took place in Africa and in Latin America. The most important issue of the opposing front, which was created based on a religious democracy, is to confront oppression, arrogance, and transgression. That is, the foundation of a government which is formed based on religion and Islam is neither harming others nor suffering harm. Its primary objective is to fight and confront oppression. As the Holy Quran says, those who have faith fight in the way of Allah. This is why, naturally, this confrontation and mutual hostility came about automatically. This is a reality that came about. Warmongering and endless bloodshed in the pursuit of power are some of the characteristics of the Western liberal democracy, which is formed in the name of this so-called democracy, but is far from spirituality and religion. Many of these tragic events took place in Europe itself. However, they are always united when they're facing non-Europeans. But when they become free from doing that, they're at odds with each other as well. As a matter of fact, the problems and what happened in Europe in the 19th century, the wars, the massacres and the aggression, prove my earlier point. Further comments, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, "We're not opposed to other governments and other countries. As a rule, rather, we're opposed to oppression, exploitation, arrogance and aggression. We're opposed to the events that you see unfolding today in the Gaza Strip. A nation, the owners of the land, are subjected to such severe oppression in their own land. Their women, their children, their families, their homes and their infrastructure, and all of their belongings are destroyed with absolute brutality and heartlessness, while some countries simply stand by and watch. Not only do they not oppose or prevent these actions by the aggressor, they even offer to help the aggressor. The United States, Britain and some European countries have helped the aggressor." This is what we are saying. We're opposed to this. The things that set the Islamic Republic in opposition to the opposing front are these concepts. In further remarks, the leader said, "The second conclusion that may be drawn is that we need to continually raise the battle flag against the arrogant powers. We need to ensure that the battle flag against the arrogant powers remains in the hands of the Islamic Republic of Iran at all times. We must take the lead and be in the forefront of raising this flag more prominently each day." Commenting further, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The third and final conclusion that I would like to make is that we must clarify this truth to our younger generation. Our younger generation, our young people, and the future generations need to know what the vision of the Islamic Republic is and why it opposes certain things. Fortunately, of course, in the 4.5 decades that have passed since the formation of the Islamic Republic of Iran, we have been successful, both regionally and globally, in conveying this message to the outside world. Conveying the message of the Islamic Revolution to the wider world." Turning to the Assembly of Experts, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The Assembly of Experts are responsible for the most important tasks, which are selecting the leader and overseeing the maintenance of the leader's qualifications. This is perhaps the most important task in the management of Iranian society today. The Assembly of Experts must ensure that the fixed principles of the Islamic Republic are upheld in their decisions and selections. They should take care that the fixed principles of the Islamic Republic are not neglected. This is very important. This means the leader must be selected while respecting and considering the fixed principles that are fundamental certainties in the Islamic Republic. Commenting on the parliamentary or majlis elections, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "Each new parliament or majlis brings with it fresh hope and aspirations. With the formation of a new parliament, a new majlis, new hopes develop due to that majlis, and there are new opportunities as well. New representatives enter the parliament and they interact with more experienced members of the parliament. They can use the successful past experiences and implement new ideas, and this is a valuable asset. The formation of a new parliament, a new majlis, is a valuable asset that can be used for the country. This should be appreciated. Fresh blood enters the new majlis or parliament, and God willing, the nation will benefit as a whole." In concluding remarks, the leader wished success for all the new members of the Assembly of Experts, and he wished God's blessing upon all those present.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifin.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Nowruz is the day when Dajjal will be killed by Imam Mahdi. March 23rd, 2018. The day Dajjal is to be killed by Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, in the final era of time, that day is Nowruz. Even according to some narrations, the day Adam alayhis salam descended on earth was on Nowruz. Nowruz means a new day in the history of mankind and a new state in the life of humankind. What matters is our intentions and actions during Nowruz. Nowruz has always meant a new day and a new state. With regards to nature, the first day of Aries, which is used to indicate the beginning of spring, is regarded as a new day. However, the new day is not restricted to renewal in nature. Some narrations from the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam about Nowruz well imply that they, based on the tradition in Islam, which everywhere took the traditions, customs, and words and changed their contents, did the same with Nowruz. When the Imam alayhi salam was asked, "What is Nowruz?" he, according to some narrations, answered, "Do you know what Nowruz is?" He didn't say, "Do you know when Nowruz is?" He stated, "Do you know what Nowruz is?" Then, on the meaning of Nowruz or what Nowruz is, there are different explanations among different narrations. For instance, the day Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, appointed Imam Ali alayhi salam to the post of Khilafat was on Nowruz. Or, in another occasion, the day Dajjal, Antichrist, is to be killed by Imam Mahdi alayhi salam In the final era of time, that day is Nowruz. Even according to some narrations, the day Adam alayhi salam descended on earth was on Nowruz.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Nowruz means a new day in the history of mankind and a new state in the life of humankind. Apparently, the Imam alayhi salam does not want to say that the day these events occurred or will occur is, or will be, on the first day of Aries. This interpretation is highly unlikely to be intended by the Imam. Instead, these examples are used to clarify the true meaning of Nowruz. Nowruz is the day that you, by your actions or by the event that takes place, bring about renewal. The day of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, when the people of Iran created a great event, with the help of God, is a new day, Nowruz. The day the Imam of the Ummah, Imam Khomeini, assertively spoke against the world's arrogant and aggressive front, the US, that day was a new day and a new path, Nowruz. This was a new event that took place. We should create a new day out of Nowruz. Nowruz is a new day for nature. The human aspect of it relies on our efforts that we bring about as a new day.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all.
Congratulations to all at the arrival of a spring and revival of nature. Congratulations to all at the arrival of a spring and revival of nature. Congratulations to all at the arrival of a spring and revival of nature.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulema's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Please stay tuned.
رسول خدا فرمود لا یقعد علیها الا الصائمون.
The Holy Prophet of Islam stated, no one can taste the sweetness of the banquet of Ramadan except those who fast during this month. This is the banquet that no one has ever tasted, experienced, or witnessed. The holy month of Ramadan is like a party whose host is Allah and we are the guests. Also, this banquet is filled with many spiritual foods and drinks which are prepared by Allah Himself. The holy month of Ramadan is like a big banquet, and we must try our best to benefit the most from it. If we do not find a chance to consume from this banquet, or we lose the chances, we are in fact depriving ourselves from many blessings of Allah. Ramadan is like a big circle that includes many bounties and blessings. It is our shortcoming if we cannot enjoy the spiritual food and blessings of this month. In better words, the holy month of Ramadan is like a big party that different people are invited to. The more they enjoy this party, the more they will be prosperous during this month. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Ulema's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Bazaar.
Whether man-made or not, food can have fascinating backstories. Products usually take a long journey before they end up on the dining table. Nevertheless, the food industry follows several golden rules that have helped it steadily grow over time. The most important of these is continuous product innovation and improved production processes to reduce costs and wastage. Others involve packaging and product accessibility, but probably the king of all rules is the taste that drives the food industry.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Bazaar, the weekly program that analyzes markets, profits, industries, and all sorts of things that connect us nationally and internationally. This week, we will be exploring the food industry and its related agricultural markets. We wanted to see how the food sector has expanded over the years and what companies are doing to increase their profits. So let's check out the Tasty Grub.
To become more familiar with how much work goes into food production, we visited Golha Food Industries. It was established nearly a century ago, and its products are now a household name. It produces hundreds of items in seven categories, such as dried legumes and fruit, spices and canned products. It also takes great pride in its healthy product line, including gluten-free flour products. This producer has devoted a lot of attention to the packaging of its products. Due to its diverse product list, it purchases such materials as cans, plastic, and cardboard to design the appropriate type of storage systems for distribution. The company has a massive daily output due to its expansive production facilities. Most of the work is done by automated machines, but the fine details are handled by experienced staff. All production processes start when raw material enters the company. These materials are first tested for quality before hitting the production floors, most of which are domestically supplied. After being tested, the material is sent to various closed circuit machines for processing. Then it is time for sorting and more quality control tests before packaging.
Food production is a very sensitive process requiring many checks and controls that guarantee the final product is safe for consumption. And production machines play an essential role as they reduce errors and maintain constant output results. Plus, many of these machines have been domestically engineered, whereas they were previously imported at high prices.
This company has a highly equipped quality control and research and development lab. It's where many new products are created and food safety standards are controlled. Moreover, the staff in this department implement food sciences to make innovative products. It might be interesting to know that this department also has some of the best food tasters. This producer has been awarded Best Research and Development Department in Food Production for many consecutive years. Among its many achievements, it has also been awarded the certificate of favored brand by customers. This wouldn't be possible without adhering to strict national and international food safety and production management standards. Following such standards has helped it maintain its export share in the global food market. With years of experience, this company has grown such that it provides thousands of employment opportunities, both directly and indirectly. It also has thousands of agencies and stores all over the country. Plus, its products can also be purchased online. As part of its future vision, this company is looking to increase its market share both domestically and abroad. It also has long-term plans to increase production and improve the production process for efficiency.
The Iranian food industry has taken giant strides away from its traditional production methods. Industry participants say using food sciences and new technologies has helped the food industry grow faster than before. Never more than now has food been more accessible. In fact, it only requires a touch of a few buttons to receive it at home. Therefore, food packaging is a critical part of the production.
Over the last decade, there has been a great emphasis on developing packaging for the food industry. This is because Iran indigenized many machines needed to process and produce food items such as deli meats, beverages, pickles, and so much more. Proper packaging also increases shelf life, which is important for consumers. Previously, food items such as spices and dairy products were purchased bulk from customers abroad due to a lack of packaging. While exporting items in bulk has benefits, it's not as profitable as selling prepackaged foodstuff. So, in addition to adding value to raw products such as meat, companies have also designed attractive packaging to contain food in more manageable portions. Such a strategy increases not only product quality, but also food safety, which helps producers meet international export standards. This trend also helps companies with branding and has created job opportunities for designers.
As you probably already know, the food industry is heavily dependent on production in the agriculture sector. So it's no surprise that the agriculture sector holds the pulse of national food security and food exports. Plus, it is one of the only sectors that has been barely impacted by the US-imposed sanctions and the global coronavirus outbreak. That was horrible.
We looked at some figures from the Ministry of Agriculture to see how this sector is doing. Last year, around 6 million tons of agricultural and foodstuff products were exported. Trade of these products raked in roughly $4 billion. Pistachio, saffron, and confectionery products topped the export charts in value during that period. Other agriculture sectors, such as livestock, poultry, and aquaculture, have also generated millions of dollars in exports. Last year, nearly 450,000 tons of these items were sent to markets in neighboring regions worth $500 million. Agriculture accounts for 8% of the country's gross domestic product. It might be interesting to know that around half of Iran's total non-oil trade comes from this sector. That's all based on data from Iran's Ministry of Agriculture. According to Iran's Customs Administration, the total non-oil trade value rose nearly 40% last year. Over 120 million tons of non-oil products worth $72 billion were traded with other countries in that period. Meanwhile, the government has implemented measures to encourage the development of agriculture. One trend this sector is witnessing is the application of smart technologies for the cultivation and harvest of various products. There has also been a boom in developing greenhouses and green practices to preserve natural resources. The word plastic was initially used to describe pliable and easily shaped objects. However, it only recently became a name for a category of materials called polymers. Such materials are abundant in nature. Take cellulose, for example. It's the material that makes up the cell walls of plants. However, synthetic polymers are a more recent invention of the last 150 years. These come from the plentiful carbon atoms found in fossil fuels. Since then, they have become an integral part of the industry, technology, and even various sciences.
We will explore Iran's plastic and polymer productions. We will also check out some of its downstream markets and their contributions to the national economy. These days, we use more plastic than ever before. It's terrible. So where does this material come from? And what goes into making this stuff? Let's find out.
Our quest for answers led us to a company specializing in making various polymer products. Parsa Polymer Sharif was established some 20 years ago and is a knowledge-based company that was born in the research department of the University of Sharif.
As a leading advanced polymer compound manufacturer, it makes various products essential to everyday living. It produces compounds based on commodity thermoplastic resins like PP, PE, and the famous PET, or PET. It also engineers resins like PVC and so much more. This knowledge-based company is a major supplier of raw materials to many industries. Some include original equipment manufacturers in the automotive market and PVC pipe producers in the construction industry. Over the years, this company has helped Iran save millions on products that would otherwise be imported. This firm has three main functions: research and development, innovation center, and production. It also has a brand new line for researching and producing biodegradable polymers for the packaging industry. Most of the raw materials needed for production are domestically purchased. When this stuff enters the company, it is first tested and graded based on its quality. Then, according to its intended use, the raw material is formulated and sent to machines for production.
Machines used in the polymer industry utilizes some of the most advanced machinery for production. The extruder is one of the most commonly used machines. They play a central role in plastic production. Extruder lines are the largest converters of plastics worldwide. Some of these machines can be domestically manufactured while others are still imported.
Its products are all tested in its well-equipped research and development lab. The various granules and resin compounds undergo over a dozen tests while being analyzed for quality here. Also, new product formulas are created in this highly technical research and development department. Through these facilities, the company is expanding its product portfolio. Products made here are produced along the lines of exports. So, national and international quality standards are implemented during the production processes. This means the quality of products found here doesn't just match international standards, they go beyond the quality of competing foreign brands in the international arena. The headquarters of this company is located in Sharif University Advanced Technologies Incubator. Owing to this, it has strong relations and collaborations with the scientific community. It has also been awarded for its contributions to the scientific and industrial sectors over the past years. This knowledge-based company also exports its products. The company has a unique future vision strongly intertwined with sustainable business development. This is partly due to its forward thinking and social and environmental responsibility outlook.
Now, polymers are the primary materials that build many other products. Plastic items have different polymer formulations depending on their application. The majority of polymers made in Iran are domestically consumed. Some of its biggest customers are in the construction sector. Also, plastic is extensively used in the medical industry and transportation.
Almost everything around us is either made of plastic or has some plastic component. Moreover, plastic has played a central role in the development of the medical industry over the past 60 years. These materials are used to create hemodialysis machines, disposable needles, IV drips, and testing equipment vital to modern medicine. Plastics have also had a considerable impact on developing high-quality prosthetics. The National Medical Device Directorate estimates that Iran's share in the global medical device market will reach well over $7 billion in the next 3 years. PVC materials are also largely used in Iran's construction industry. For example, Iran's Doors and Windows Manufacturers Association estimates the domestic demand for PVC doors and windows is around 35,000 tons annually. This is partly due to the current residential construction boom in the country. The home appliance industry is also another mammoth customer of the polymer industry.
Based on figures from the Ministry of Industry, Mining and Trade, Iran has doubled its production in this sector over the last 3 years. In 2021, around 15 million home appliance units were produced, with exports soaring to roughly $140 million. So, polymer production is key in expanding many manufacturing industries, which have raked in large amounts of foreign revenue for the country.
Well, I believe it is that time of the show where I should take a little break and pass the action over to my good friend and colleague out there on the field. Take it away.
Despite all the advancements in technology and the problems it has solved, food security is one it hasn't. In fact, it is becoming more and more of an issue beyond the countries that have always been grappling with it. One solution is to, well, end inflation and the global economic crisis, but that's hardly a solution. There's no end in sight with that. But another way is to use technology to make things more efficient. We wouldn't be needing more land because we're not getting it thanks to desertification of more and more land. We also wouldn't be needing more water because we're also not getting it, also thanks to desertification. We would actually need less of both, if only we could manage our resources better.
Iran has some potential for farming and agriculture, and that's a massive understatement if you've ever heard one. But we could definitely do with some improvements, some innovations in the field, especially with irrigation, because, well, we've been experiencing some drought and some water shortages a little bit more than what climate change would warrant. And that's why we're here to check out a smart greenhouse that believes has the answer, that the shakeup that the industry needs to be a lot more efficient, especially with water, plus some extra goodies. So stay tuned to this episode of The Bazaar to check out what they've been able to come up with.
About that efficiency, greenhouses can help provide that by creating a controlled environment that, while it could be much smaller than a field, it can yield higher quality produce and more produce per acre. Greenhouses can protect the crops and vegetables from extreme weather conditions, pests, or really any other external threat. The parameters that are controlled in a greenhouse are light, ventilation, humidity, and temperature. This would allow the farmers to create the kind of optimal micro-ecosystem that would eventually lead to them growing healthier, tastier, more nutritious, and, you know, better-looking produce.
What you will find in this smart greenhouse are tomatoes, cherry tomatoes, bell pepper, and cucumbers. There are certain types of fruits and vegetables that are preferred to be used in greenhouses, for example, the ones that I just mentioned. And there are certain types of crops that are not optimal for greenhouse use, for example, wheat and rice. But that's just some information about greenhouses in general. What makes this particular greenhouse unique and smart is that all of the parameters that need to be kept in check in a greenhouse are all monitored and manipulated remotely through the cloud and Internet of Things, instead of some worker or some farmers coming in and out of the greenhouse to manipulate things manually. That's the smart aspect of it in a nutshell. But to find out more information about the smartness of this greenhouse, let's hear from some of the experts here.
In this greenhouse, we measure all essential parameters for the plants, like temperature, moisture, CO2, ambient light, the water parameters, and the moisture of the roots, using the available sensors and control them with the actuators and the smart control unit, and also remotely control it via Internet of Things. With properly controlling the climate and the irrigation system, we increase the productivity up to 30% and decrease the water consumption by up to 40% comparing other hydroponic greenhouses in our country. And in the next step, we are trying to recycle the drained water of the irrigation system and pass it through some filters and put it back again into the irrigation system in order to further decrease the water consumption. And also, we are developing a robotic harvester, including a mobile-based manipulator, soft gripper, and vision system equipped with artificial intelligent algorithm in order to detect the ripe crops and pick them in the proper time.
1% of the world's water resources are fresh water, and most of it, in fact, 70% of it, is used in agriculture.